Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're your guides for getting past the headlines and really digging into the important stuff.
That's right.
And today, we are definitely digging deep. We're looking at professional fulfillment, you know, that search for a workplace where you actually feel understood,
yeah,
where your skills really, truly matter.
The big one, culture fit, identity.
Exactly. And how the job market, maybe surprisingly, is starting to catch up with these, well, very human needs. Our guide today, it's a really interesting blog post. It's called When the Job Market Becomes an Oasis. Well, I'm going back to my home country, the Netherlands, to look for work. Back to the roots.
Mm.
It's by Rob Van Linde, just published September 18th, 2025. And honestly, it feels like more than just one person's story. It's tapping into something bigger.
Definitely.
So our mission here is to unpack Rob's experience. He talks about feeling like an alien professionally.
Wow, strong word.
Right. And then this turning point, finding what he calls his oasis. We want to explore what that tells us about work today in this connected world. And maybe ask yourself as you listen, have you ever felt like that? Kind of professionally misunderstood, like you're trying to communicate something vital, but
yeah,
it's just not landing. Have you looked for that place where you just click?
Yeah, and Rob's story is so relevant because, well, it speaks to this challenge lots of us face now.
Mm.
How do you match your own drive, your passion, with the right culture? It's not just about the company name anymore. As we'll see with Rob, it goes beyond borders, beyond traditional roles. It really makes you think, where do I fit, professionally speaking?
Okay, so let's dive into Rob's situation at the start. He calls himself a Dutch curious guy into agility, innovation, digitalization, and AI.
You can feel the energy right there.
Totally. He's clearly passionate, forward-thinking. But he'd been feeling like an alien for months. Stuck, especially in his work environment in Germany. He had all these ideas, things he wanted to do, but it felt like hitting a wall.
A sort of invisible barrier.
Exactly. He talks about facing a lack of understanding, these rigid structures, you know, formal hurdles. Just imagine pouring your energy into explaining some, I don't know, innovative AI approach.
Yeah, something potentially game-changing.
Right, like maybe optimizing something with machine learning or a new digital strategy.
Yeah.
And instead of engagement, you get, and what exactly does that mean?
Oof, that dismissive tone.
That's what he felt.
Yeah.
Like he was, and this is his quote, speaking a language that no one understood. And it's not just technical terms, is it? It's deeper. That feeling of your core contribution just not being seen.
It really is deeper. And what's so important here is the emotional impact, the professional toll that takes. When you feel your professional language, your way of thinking, your ideas isn't getting through, it's not just frustrating. It actually, you know, shuts down creativity, kills motivation.
Yeah, it must be exhausting.
Totally exhausting. Think about it, constantly meeting blank stares, or worse, skepticism. Even for someone super passionate like Rob clearly is, it's like being a painter who only gets shown a black and white canvas, the real value gets lost.
That's a great analogy.
And great ideas might just wither on the vine because the environment isn't receptive. It's a loss for the person and the organization.
Right, exactly. All that potential just fizzling out because nobody gets the recipe, like you said. The chef feels totally useless. But then things changed.
Hmm.
There's this turning point Rob describes, and this part is really fascinating. He joined a virtual networking event.
Okay.
It was called Networking for AI Professionals Worldwide. Sounds promising, but Rob admits he didn't expect much.
Yeah, relatable. How many of those online events feel a bit flat?
So many.
Yeah.
You hope for the best, right?
Mm.
But maybe expect generic chat.
Yeah.
But he found, and this is his word again, a real oasis. He said it was a place where you could get straight to the heart of the matter without small talk and superficial pleasantries.
Wow, that's the dream for networking, isn't it?
It really is. Suddenly, he felt understood. He had these one-on-one chats with people from all over India, Taiwan, Australia.
So truly global.
Yeah. And here's a key detail. He noticed that most of these contacts, they now live in Amsterdam.
Interesting. So a geographic connection emerging there.
Right. It hints at something about that particular environment. And they weren't just making small talk. They were diving deep. Projects, ideas, the future of AI. Real substance.
The kind of conversations he was probably craving.
Absolutely. So feeling this connection, he took a leap. He shared his blog, his certificates, things he might have hesitated to share before.
Risky, maybe, given his past experiences.
Could have been. But the reaction, he says it was simply overwhelming. He got curiosity instead of skepticism, recognition instead of blank stares.
Oh, validation.
Yes. He said it wasn't just encouraging, it was liberating. Think about that feeling. Going from feeling like an alien to feeling liberated, just from one online event, that's finding your tribe.
It really is. And, you know, connecting this to the bigger picture, it just underscores how vital these virtual specialized networks are becoming. They're not just second best options anymore. They're crucial hubs. They let like-minded people connect across any distance, bypassing those old geographical or even corporate walls.
Yeah, the old gatekeepers, maybe.
Exactly. And they offer something incredibly important, validation. Especially for niche skills. Finding people who speak your language professionally, that's huge. It fuels collaboration, builds confidence.
It lets people belong, even if their local environment isn't quite right.
Precisely. It bypasses local conservatism, perhaps. And for fast-moving fields like AI, where the knowledge is so specialized, these global communities are almost essential for staying current and finding collaborators who get it.
That makes so much sense. And for Rob, these conversations sparked another big insight, a really significant one. He realized his struggles in Germany. They weren't about him failing. They were cultural. His words, "It wasn't me, it was the culture."
That's a massive shift in perspective.
Huge. Suddenly, it's not an internal failing. It's an external mismatch. He knew what he'd been missing. The internationality, the open and pragmatic approach that has lived in the Netherlands.
Okay, so let's unpack open and pragmatic a bit. What does that look like in practice?
Well, based on his experience and contrast, it sounds like an environment where new ideas are welcomed, maybe tried out quickly. Less red tape, perhaps.
More agility, maybe failure seen as learning.
Exactly. Flatter hierarchies, maybe. Where you can challenge things more directly compared to what he felt were rigid structures elsewhere, where process doesn't automatically trump a good idea.
Right. And he mentioned the focus shifting.
Yes. He felt the Dutch environment, or at least the one he glimpsed through these contacts, valued skills, mindset, and the will to make a difference, more than just titles or formal requirements.
So what you do and bring matters more than the label on your business card.
That seems to be the core of it. It's about contribution, not just credentials.
You know, this brings up such a critical point for everyone listening. How much does that surrounding culture, national, corporate, team culture really dictate our success and, well, our happiness at work? It's not just surface stuff. It's like the operating system, as you said before. It governs how decisions happen, how risk is handled, how feedback works. Crucially, how new ideas are treated. Are they nurtured or shot down?
Yeah. Is innovation encouraged or seen as disruptive in a bad way?
Exactly. Rob's realization shows that culture isn't just fluff. It dictates the rules of the game. It makes you think, doesn't it? How well do my values, my working style, align with the operating system where I work?
Am I in the right system to thrive?
That's the question. Sometimes the bottleneck isn't you, it's the system itself.
Right.
Are you seeing this cultural factor play out strongly in other innovation hubs too?
Absolutely. Different cultures foster different strengths, and Rob had this perfect little story and anecdote from the networking event that just crystallized this whole cultural point for him.
Oh, yeah.
One of the people he spoke to, someone working for Shell in the Netherlands, told him flat out, he doesn't speak Dutch.
Wow. Okay. Working for Shell, based in the Netherlands, but doesn't speak Dutch.
Right. And Rob's takeaway from this was immediate. He thought, that's the best proof that nowadays it's not your nationality or the language of the country that matters, but your skills and your contribution.
That says a lot.
It really does. Yeah. It's such a clear signal of priority shifting, especially in globalized industries, hungry for specific talent. It's not just about accepting diversity. It's actively seeking skills above all else.
And the implications there for the job market are pretty profound. That Shell example, it's like a beacon signaling the shift away from old constraints.
Like language or nationality being deal breakers.
Exactly. Top companies, especially in tech, AI, innovation, they're laser focused on capability, on talent, on mindset. They have to be to compete globally.
They need the best people wherever they are.
Precisely. So they build diverse teams, pulling talent from everywhere. And in those environments, someone like Rob, who speaks the language of innovation, can really find their footing because that's the language that's valued most. Skills become the main currency.
It's a true meritocracy of contribution, like you said earlier.
Hopefully, yes. That's the ideal these companies are striving for.
So all these experiences, the alienation, the oasis, the cultural insight, that Shell anecdote, they all led Rob to a clear conclusion. He calls it the final confirmation. He knew deep down that he didn't quite fit in Germany, not because of Germany itself, but because he functions better in that international, pragmatic, skills-first kind of setting.
That clarity must have been powerful, just knowing.
Immense, I imagine. And it wasn't just a thought. It led to action, decisive action. He decided to make a fresh start back in his home country, the Netherlands. But it wasn't just going home geographically.
No, it sounds like a deliberate move towards a specific type of environment.
Exactly. He wants to find, and I'm quoting him again, a place where my language is understood the language of innovation and progress.
That phrase really captures it.
It does. It shows it's not just about finding a job. It's about finding that place where your unique way of thinking, your contribution, resonates, where you feel you belong professionally.
And, you know, we shouldn't underestimate the courage that takes or the self-awareness.
Definitely not.
To face that reality, this place isn't right for me, even if it has good points, and then to actually make a change, that's huge. Rob's search for a place where his language works connects to something universal, I think. That need we all have for belonging, for recognition, not just in life, but in our work, too.
Yeah, where our efforts feel meaningful and seen.
Right. Finding that sweet spot where who you are aligns with what you do and where the environment actually amplifies your skills rather than dampening them. And sometimes, as Rob found, that means being brave enough to seek out completely new ground or maybe redefine what home means professionally.
So wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway here? Rob's journey from that feeling of being an alien to finding his professional oasis. It's quite a story.
It really is.
It shows how finding that sense of belonging at work isn't just a perk. It's fundamental. It unlocks potential.
Absolutely. And it highlights this growing truth, that cultural fit, that alignment between your skills, your mindset, and your work environment. It's becoming critical, maybe even more critical than the job title or the company logo in today's world, especially in specialized fields. We're not just job hunting anymore. We're seeking ecosystems, places where we can genuinely thrive.
Ecosystems. I like that. Okay, so here's something to leave you with, a final thought to chew on, drawing from Rob's experience. Take a second and think about your own work situation right now. Honestly, ask yourself, how well does my current environment really get me? Do they understand the language of my passions, my skills, my drive?
A tough question sometimes.
It can be. And then what would that professional oasis look like for you? Not just the tasks, but the culture, the collaboration, the feeling of being recognized.
What does that ideal ecosystem feel like?
Exactly. And finally, are there any steps, even small ones, you could take towards finding or maybe even creating that kind of environment? Whether it's changing how you interact with your team, looking at a different industry, or maybe, like Rob, considering a bigger shift, geographical or cultural, that truly aligns with your professional core. Just something to reflect on. What truly defines your sense of belonging and effectiveness at work? Thanks for diving deep with us today.